Hello.
I'm Danny.
And I'm James.
And welcome to
Let's Talk. She's back.
I'm back.
Oh, did you enjoy your little vacation?
Yes, I did. Oh my gosh, I had such a lovely time. Just went away with the girls, went to Italy. I mean, the Airbnb was interesting.
Oh no.
Yeah, so we booked it and it said like private pool shared between guests of the villa.
Seems pretty standard.
So you think, okay, well, there's four apartments. That's not many people.
Oh no. How many people?
Cut to Saturday morning when there's over 50 children.
No!
Because it's actually a public pool shared with the residents of the area.
Oh, you are joking.
And
go on.
To top it all off, we had to wear swimming hats in the pool. I can't even talk about it, honestly.
She can't deal.
Hilarious. But actually, it made it more fun.
Oh, gosh. Well, I tell you, it sounds like a proper Danny holiday. Something has to go wrong. But I tell you what, babes, I've missed you.
Oh, babes, I missed you too. You were very brave to hold down the fort for us both.
I'm not going to lie. I felt like someone had just taken away my comfort blanket or something. But how good was Georgia? How easy did she make it?
Oh my God, yeah, she was amazing. Do you know, it's so nice to hear someone younger talking about the industry and having so much knowledge and passion. And yeah, it was amazing. So well done. Well done, you too.
Like, such a perfect first guest.
I tell you what though, I'm very glad to be back. So this week we are talking about auditions.
Ooh.
Very scary. And to introduce topic one, we are talking about technique. Very serious. Serious topic for
honestly,
this week.
I think the idea of auditions is so bloody terrifying. Like, to anyone who isn't involved in the industry, I think even the word makes your whole body go, ugh. But actually, yeah. I don't know about you, but I've had some really nice auditions.
Yeah, I've had some nice ones, definitely. People look...
Yeah, I've had some nice ones. We'll get onto that later. Like, I feel like that was
I went
late.
Somewhere else mentally and yeah. I was thinking, like, have I? Like...
Blocking out the trauma. Yeah. But yeah, technique's a really interesting one, isn't it, behind it. What makes a good audition? What makes a bad audition?
Yeah, because I feel like as many casting workshops and audition technique classes you go to, like, no one really knows what's a good audition and what's a bad audition.
Because... And the amount of people that think that they know, and like, I see classes charging people online, I'll tell you how to do a good audition. I was like, it changes. Like, one casting director might like it one way, another might like it another way. Most of the time, I think it's just a good idea to be really open, really sort of fluid with the way that you enter an audition room and be ready to just go with the flow.
Yeah, because whatever you plan in your head, it never seems to go that kind of way. And it's also different for acting auditions compared to musical theatre auditions, because I went to a musical theatre audition yesterday and I sort of forgot that people are probably told to wear nice dresses and heels. And I just turned up in, like, I was dressed smart, but I wasn't, you know, looking like a sack of shit. But I was in, like, trainers and a light jumper. And I just didn't think about it.
No. Well, I always used to be that you wear blacks. So a relatively well-fitting top, so they can see your alignment and your posture, basically. And just black joggers, trainers. But then I remember doing a sort of industry work panel in my third year, and I got slated for what I was wearing. And I remember being so pissed off, because I was like, so, and they went round everyone in the room and gave feedback on the audition, what people did well. And it got to me and they went, yeah, you took direction really well, really liked what you were doing, just didn't like what you were wearing. I was like, and bear in mind, I was in a jumper, joggers and trainers. So I was smartly presented. I was just in movable wear. Yeah. I think that's the word that I've missed out. You should be able to move in it. So yeah. It should be, what's the word? I've got malleable in my head, but that's not the word. What's the word? It yeah, should be.
What is the word?
Like practical, functional.
Yeah.
Functional, or I like, think, is where I'm trying to go.
movement. Physical.
Basically, you should be able to do the splits and without ripping yeah. your pants. Not. And there was yeah. people there. I literally remember getting so angry because there were people rocking up in jeans. And I was like, in all my years of like working through youth theatres, working in whatever it was, if I'd never wear jeans. And I remember yeah. literally being so... I complained about it. And then the teacher who was in charge of it went, yeah, you're right. We'll have a word with who gave that feedback. And I was like, yeah, you bloody better. Mm-hmm. I was like... by my third year, I just didn't give a shit. I was like, if you do something that's really out of order, I'm not going to... I'd got past that point of, I'm at drama school, I'm going to be really nice and polite. I was like, yeah. no, screw you, that's really rude and really, like, problematic. Yeah. And especially for musical theatre courses. Imagine rocking up to a dance call in a pair of jeans. You'd be laughed out of the room.
Exactly, yeah. Or a dress. But I suppose... I don't know. I do get it. Like you want to walk in looking like you on a good day, like for your headshots. But like you say, if it's, I did an audition once for a production that had a lot of like physical movement in it, and there was a 6 foot tall puppet that we had to operate. And the audition consisted of me. I mean, this wasn't planned, but I ended up diving over a table,
of course,
with a like puppet made out of newspaper. And I was just like, if I'd gone in a dress, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And so I didn't get the part anyway, but like, I would have had even less chance getting the part.
I love that. Didn't get the part, but no, I suppose, well, going back to the topic and technique, what's good technique? So good clothing, good attitude for me.
Yeah, because you audition people a lot, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, quite a bit with Bamalam. And someone said to me, the best thing that you can do is be open and friendly at an audition and treat it like it's a chance to act and perform. Mm. And then if you get the job, it's kind of the cherry on top, but really have fun with the audition. And it changed my mindset completely when I heard that, because I was like, actually, yeah, that's right. I do like to act. And I like to talk to people. I like to talk about theatre. So just enjoy it. And from there, my auditions really changed. And now on the flip side, with Bamalam auditioning people, I am a bit like, I'm definitely a bit more sympathetic. I just think people should have fun at auditions. I don't think it should be scary. I hate these people who treat it like it's the national. And I'm like, I'm auditioning for a panto here. In blooming, I don't know,
Doncaster.
Grimms, but yeah, Doncaster. In fairness, I have auditioned for Cast up in Doncaster for a pantomime there, and they were really lovely.
You haven't.
Oh, yes, I have. No, we're saving that. We've got to talk about pantos another time, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so, but places where the stakes aren't high enough for the people to be that invested. And then I'm like, you're treating this like it's, one, a really well-paid job, and you're barely paying equity minimum. And then, two, I'm just not having fun doing it because you're, like, sucking the life out of it. So whenever I'm hosting auditions, I really try and make them, one, short, because I don't think you should, especially if they're online, which they're going now. We don't ask for pages and pages of dialogue to be recorded. We just ask for little snippets. If we're seeing people in person, if they've had to travel, we like to talk to them, really make sure that they get the travel's worth and they're not just coming down for, you know, a two-minute read direction and then going.
I guess it would be important to talk about the reality of, from an actor's perspective, you know, how many auditions is too many? No, how many is to be kind of not expected, but like, you know, how often do you get them and like what different types of auditions? Because I think something that I didn't realise when I graduated was I didn't realise how many different things I would audition for.
Yeah.
I thought it would be like plays,
yeah,
screen, done.
Done.
The amount of like random auditions that I've done have been bizarre, like for things that I'd never even, you know, considered, oh yeah, I can do that. Because your agent, if your agent's a good agent, they're just submitting you for loads of stuff and, you know, you don't know what's going
to
come in.
That's a really good point. So obviously last week we spoke to Georgia and mm-hmm. what agents do and what they're submitting for. And I think it's a really good example because Georgia and Alex are really good at submitting their clients for appropriate things. But actually a lot of agents and a lot of complaints that come from casting directors that you see on Twitter and, oh, you know what Twitter's like at the minute.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You see a lot of complaints going towards agents who just submit everyone on their client list for everything. And actually, I think that gets quite problematic because you get people at auditions. And we've had it at Bamalam where we did our most recent play, All the Bends. We released that and the casting breakdown, I mean. And we asked to see people who were neurodivergent or specifically autistic for the part of Ben's brother. And we got so many people applying saying, I really want to be this part. And we were like, yeah, but are you neurodivergent or are you autistic? And they were like, no. In fact, we had one person say, I'm not autistic, but I'm quite quirky. Yeah.
Oh no.
I think it stems to we really want auditions, don't we? And we really want to, and we see projects and we're like, oh, we really want to be part of that. But actually, sometimes we just need to take a step back and say, this isn't right for me. Someone else is better for the part. But how, back to your original point of how many auditions is too many to I think it totally depends. Like, I can go a few months without auditions, and then I could go a week with having three or four.
Yeah.
It just totally depends. It depends on your casting. Obviously, some people are more castable visually. So, of course, the people are going to want them for, I don't know, commercials more. They're going to want to see them for TV. TV is really specific. I always say if you've got big, wide eyes, TV are going to want you if you can act. Like, big, wide eyes is just a... Because they're like the gateway to the soul, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got big eyes, you're instantly more castable than someone as squinty as me.
You've got gorgeous eyes. I don't know what you're talking about.
Stop it. Stop it. Me and all my eye issues. But, yeah, I just think don't get bogged down because I think it's so easy to be like, one, my agent is not getting me work. And like Georgia was touching on last week, I think people with agents get really, really, really antsy to get work. And if they're not getting work, they move agent and leave the current agent for someone else. And actually, it's a working relationship with your agent to get these auditions to build your career. So just trust the process, I think. Trust it.
Yeah, definitely. And there's always going to be something. You know, you just never know when it's going to come. And it probably will come at the most inopportune moment possible. Like, so many people I know tell their clients to, like, or their agents have told them, book a holiday, because then you'll get an audition. Yeah.
I can't currently audition for Phantom of the Opera. I am flying to Dubai.
Yeah.
I can FaceTime you at the airport.
So sorry.
What do you think about Zoom auditions at the minute? How do you feel about them? Because I've heard mixed bags.
I haven't had any Zoom audition for ages. The last one I had was fairly recently, but it was for something, it was for a short film that I'd submitted myself for.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was in Bath, so it wasn't really, it was with, I think, the university over there.
Oh, right.
Not Bath University, but maybe Bath Spa or something like that. And that was kind of, it's just awkward because you just don't know where to look. And then, you know, you're kind of like, can't really build a relationship. And then there's the awkward, if there's a delay or the Wi-Fi's not working, it's sometimes a bit awkward. But then having said that, I did get cast for a job in one of the lockdowns from Zoom.
I really enjoy them. I think the especially for first auditions.
Yeah.
For projects, especially as I'm not in London. I know you're based in London.
Yeah.
But a lot of auditions now are like, yeah, come to London for a 20-minute slot. Like I was saying earlier, that's hard to give up a whole day and spend like £60. More. I know people who spent like 100 or sat on the megabus for 4 hours to get down.
And God,
It's just, in my head, it's just not worth it. But Zoom auditions have just made that first initial process really simple. And then if I'm more than happy to do a train trip or a coach trip down for a recall, because you clearly want me. We're over that initial, do you even want someone like me part of the audition, which I always think's really hard. Like, imagine going down and you know full well they're looking for someone that's not you. It's just hard. But yeah, so in that respect, I think Zoom's opened up a lot of windows for people who are maybe less economically stable, who've got families. Like, we always forget this, people with kids. There's actors out there who've got families that really struggle, or not even families, just other commitments that rely on not giving up a day's work to go and play around in an audition room.
So, touching on, you know, Zoom auditions, audition technique, I think we should now move on to Let's Talk Videos. So, do you want to do your video first or mine?
Let's do your one.
Okay, then.
I'll open that link.
You've probably seen it.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. So savage.
Hi, you must be
Amelia?
Stacey.
Felicity, for the lady part.
Florence.
The lady
reading
part.
For the leading lady part. I'm Gemma.
And what did you think of it, the part?
Well, I loved it. It's just a great part.
I think she's great.
How do you see her?
She was feisty.
Feisty? She's bold. She's the one calling the shots. She's...
I think she's pretty...
Thank God.
Clever. She's pretty clever. That's not
Catherine
what you're
so
going
good.
For.
I love Catherine.
Well,
no.
I mean, we hadn't really...
No.
Clever's not really something we...
want or care about at all, actually. So you do realise this is the leading lady part.
You do realise this is the leading lady part. I absolutely adore that. I can't... How old's that now? 2018. Madness. Pre-lockdown.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, I just think there's such a... I don't know when it sort of emerged, but I suppose there's been a shift away from these, like, stock archetypes of what characters should and shouldn't be. And we're definitely moving away from that. Like, Fleabag with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I think, is a great example of just a show that crushes what's expected of female characters and story and narrative progression. Like, I just thought it was bloody brilliant. And yeah, something like that. Catherine Tate's fantastic at playing these sort of ambivalent, slightly problematic characters.
So yeah, the video is basically the one that was doing the rounds back in 2019-18, whenever it was, about female women auditioning for a leading lady part and basically being told that they couldn't be intelligent, they couldn't be this, they couldn't be that. It's got loads of celebs in it, and it's really funny. So if you haven't seen it, give it a watch. Find all these links on the socials. I'm now going to watch your video.
Go for it.
Here we go. It's loading.
And there's a knock on your door, and a man comes, a grown man, not your brother. And he's from NASA, you know, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. And he has found out that you have... a creature. He doesn't know exactly what, but he has found you have a creature in your closet.
He's listening so intently.
So good.
He's had this creature now for 3 or 4 weeks. You become best friends with it, and he wants to take the creature away.
This is obviously Henry Thomas auditioning for the role of Elliot in E.T.
Okay.
Now, young man, I understand that you have an alien somewhere in this house. Is that true?
Aww.
He's so good.
Well, Is it true? Is there an alien in this house?
Yes, sir.
Well, as you know, I am from the government. I'm part of the United States government, and I am empowered to take that alien with me.
But you can't take him away. He's mine.
Aww. The government. I like the coaching that the are, Elliot. Well, I assume it's and the casting director or the director really, gives him at the beginning him, and gives him like, the whole I'm gonna backstory.
Take him. Yeah, yeah. Filling him in. It's just so good. And then at the end, I think it's Spielberg's in the room. He's like, okay, kid, you got the job.
Yeah.
Oh, he's welling up.
So good.
I don't care what the president says. He's my best friend. And you can't take him away.
When you watch it, it's like, yeah, of course he got the job. Of course he did. But yeah, this is obviously, like I said, it's Henry Thomas auditioning for E.T. And I picked it because it sticks out in my head as one of those all-time great auditions. Like, you see people. There was one of Daisy Ridley before she got cast as Rey in the Star Wars sequels. And it's the interrogation scene that they did with her, with Kylo Ren. And he's sort of force probing her mind. And she, like, she's just deeply affected. And it's the same as Henry in this. Like, you can see that he's just so committed to the part. So invested in the story, and I'm like, I don't feel like I've had that audition yet where I'm like, oh my god, this role. I've had a few where I've gone, yeah, I gave that my all, and I think they got it too. And I think going back to what you were saying and in your video about what's expected of people for roles. And I just think when your expectation and your delivery match with the expectation of the director and the producer, I think when it all lines up and matches, it's like the dream audition, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard because you've got so little time, and like, you don't always have a lot of time to prepare it. You could get given it the day before and then you've got to go in and smash it.
I hate those auditions.
Yeah. But then even when you're in the room, you've not got a lot of time.
Yeah.
So it's really hard. Best and worst. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, good Lord.
Help us all. So I think it would be good to chat about our experiences, but then to chat about how we felt about the audition compared to what actually happened in reality. Yeah. Because obviously when you leave an audition, sometimes you think, oh my god, that was the worst thing I've ever done, and then you get the job and you're like, oh, actually it wasn't that bad. So it might be good to just chat about our experiences and then put them in perspective.
We love it. Do you want to go first? Go for it.
Well, I would probably say that one of my worst auditions, I did quite a bad one the other day, but one of my worst auditions was for the show that we did together.
For Litchfield?
Yeah.
No.
I came out of that and I went, well, what a shame. Because there was a lot to learn. I don't know about you, but I got given like, I think because I was reading for the, so there was multi-rolling parts and one part female part.
I was gonna say, why did you have the most? I had literally, that show was ridiculous for how much I had to say in it. I had monologue after monologue, didn't I?
Yeah.
I was like, why have you got the most? But in fairness, you played the most. You and Beth were like changing character every 5 minutes.
And I read for the role that I played, which was playing multiple different parts, plus the other, like, the Beth character.
Oh, right.
So the character that was running all the way through. So I had loads of scenes. And then the multi-rolling scenes that I had obviously all needed a different accent, because that was the point of the part. It was like, you need to take on different accent every scene. And it was a very 39 Steps kind of vibe to the show.
That's honestly what I loved about it. I was like, yeah, was this really is so part. Me.
But I was trying so hard to learn them all, and I then didn't think that I actually put any emphasis on character. So then when I got in the room, I tried to do it off book, and then I suddenly needed the book. So I was like, oh, sorry, can I just pick up the pay? And Sean was like, yeah, no, fine, whatever. And then I did a really bad Scottish accent, and then I was like singing and playing something, or I can't even remember what I did, but I just remember sashaying across the stage in a fit of like nothingness. I don't even know what I was doing. I was just like flustered with the paper. And then I literally walked out and I said to my mum on the phone, that was the worst audition ever. And then I got the job.
I can't believe that. I remember walking out of that. That's one of my better ones. I had so much fun in it. I remember Sean being lovely. And I came out and went, I've give that my all. I don't know if I'm what they're looking for. And I think we had a conversation about it. It turns out I wasn't really what they were looking for, but I'd gone in and I'd done such a nice job that they chose to go with me. But I just remember going, I'm happy with what I've done, but it was a good environment to be in. And but I can't get over that. I can't believe that was one of your worst.
And some I've had some as well where I had pharyngitis in my throat, or obviously in my pharynx, but in my throat. And that's where pharyngitis is.
Just to confirm.
No, is it pharynx, larynx? Don't know. Anyway, some sort of throat thing. And it just cuts out some of your pitches when you're singing, or like in your vocal
fantastic
range. So I went in and I auditioned for the tour of Footloose. And I'd also got on my CV that I played piano and clarinet, which I have a clarinet.
Oh my gosh, can we just put a pin in this story and talk about your clarinet? Talking
oh my
of
God.
Problem issues. During the show, when you had to play Silent Night on the clarinet and it just didn't come out.
But then people thought it was part of it because it was silent.
Silent Night. It was like the perfect setup. We've worked at the English language for thousands of years linguistically to get to this point to tell this joke that wasn't even a joke.
No.
It just happened one night when no sound came out. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Silent Night. Absolutely nothing. So true. Anyway, yeah, carry on. Sidetracked you. But so you were auditioning for Footloose.
Yeah, and the lead, Ariel, plays a blower and piano. So it could be sax, clarinet, whatever.
I was gonna... A blower, is that the technical term?
Oh yeah, definitely. Total professional over here.
Woodwind of some kind.
Some sort of woodwind.
Or brass, I suppose.
Yeah. And I went in and had pharyngitis, couldn't hit the top notes of the songs I went in and sang. And the director even said to me, she was like, I know on a normal day you would kill that, wouldn't you? And I was like,
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I feel like this is another topic, but active music stuff is great if you've got instruments and you can pick stuff up, but it's not really in auditions. You have to kind of like nail it and be like, look, I'm really competent, but actually in the room you're sort of working stuff out.
Honestly,
it's a lot easier to kind of figure out what you're playing.
That's
stuff,
very much how I feel, because obviously I can play piano decently. I was gonna say bonk along to tune. God. That's really not what
sexual.
Oh no, what's that? Stop it, James. Stop it. But I can.
Well, we
I
are talking about auditions,
along.
Casting couch.
Oh know? Gosh, yeah. We haven't even talked. No, let's not touch on that.
No, let's not.
Different kinds of auditions, but yeah. Well, I suppose it ties into being uncomfortable at auditions, but it sure. it's just so. There's so much pressure on auditions that I feel like I can play guitar a little bit and ukulele, but the idea of being asked to play something in an audition terrifies me, unless I've had time to absolutely prepare it, like you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of my work. Well, I've only ever had one really, really bad audition, and I'd always prided myself on not having had a bad audition. And I've been graduated since, what, 2017? But it was a few months ago, and I got through the first round, got a recall, and it was for a new musical. And I was really passionate about it, really passionate about the music, really passionate about the team. And I just couldn't get this song. I just couldn't get it. And then whenever I had it on my speaker, it kept cutting in early when I played it. So it was one of those annoying tracks that as soon as you press play, it starts. So, right. But then my speaker kind of fades in.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I could never hear the starting note. So I was always off time. And then this audition was on Zoom. And, oh, it was just awful. It was just a train wreck. I just couldn't get it to work. And then when I did get it to work, I forgot the lyrics. And then I forgot my lines in the audition as well. And I was like, that never happens to me. Mm. Yeah, ever. And then, yeah, it was just an absolute train wreck. And I remember coming off and being, I was just mortified. I was like, I was so proud of myself for getting a recall. And then I delivered that train wreck. And I was like, do you know what? I'm glad it's happened now. I can deal with it and move past it.
Yeah, and we've all had experiences like that when you walk out and you think, oh, so annoying, because I know I could have done so much better. And I find, especially with songs and music and stuff, it always goes better in a show because you've rehearsed it, you know, like you're confident. Whereas singing and playing in front of people just seems weirdly more exposing than acting.
Doesn't it, just?
I don't know why, but...
Well, it's that whole public speaking thing, isn't it? Like... everyone always expects us to be really good public speakers, but the idea of standing up in front of a group of people, no lights, no character, just maybe at a conference and talking to them terrifies me. So
it also sounds fucking dull.
Yeah, I mean, that too. That too. But no, I'm rubbish at it. Like, I need a character to hide behind. So.
Oh, you don't need to hide behind anything.
Yeah, that sounded a lot deeper than it actually was. I'm just a...
Go on, James. Why don't you tell us a best experience? A lovely experience.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a great one. So my first TV audition was for Doctors on the BBC. Mm. And I got it, which was really lovely, really great experience. It was one of those dream auditions that I finished and they went, oh my gosh, so how many auditions have you been to previously? And I was like, oh no, this is my first. And they're like, what? That's unbelievable. It was like dream audition. And I was like, no, this is my first. I'm really new. I'm really enjoying life at the minute. I'm a new grad. I'm just having a great time. Really lovely. Felt confident again. I was like, well, I've given my all. They like me. I was really open and friendly. If I don't get it, it's just not my time. Fine.
Yeah.
But I was smiling the whole way down, got in the elevator, came down, walked out, and I was on my phone and walking ahead, and I walked where I thought the door had been. And I walked straight into a glass window. At the Boreham Wood BBC studios, walked face first into it. Like, and I'm not talking like, oh, nearly walked into it. I went bang into it. So much so, there was only three people in this room downstairs. Yeah. Two security guards and me walking through. The two security guards were having a really like in-depth chat. They were like, I can't remember what they were talking about, but it was like you just hear them chatting away, then you hear me walk into the thing, bang. And then the conversation just stops dead. They look at me, snigger to themselves, and carry on talking, and I just, oh god. A little part of me died, but obviously because it had gone so well in upstairs, I was like, oh, quick, get out, embarrassing.
Oh, that's a lovely story.
Yeah, and here I am, living to audition another day.
Well, James, I think we're coming to the end of this episode.
I know. We're going to be at the end of the series at this rate.
Well, if you're still listening, any final thoughts?
Do you know what? Just have a good time with auditions. I think I've made it really clear. I've banged on about it the whole way through. Just enjoy these moments if you get a chance. Even if it's a job interview, if you're not like a performer, because who knows where our listeners are tuning in from, what kind of lives they lead. But if you're going to a job interview, like, own it. I remember doing an interview for uni, so it could be something like that, and It was for a teaching course. This was before I decided to pursue a life of debauchery in the arts. But I remember sitting in the room and there was about eight of us and everyone was terrified. Everyone was terrified to be there. And then there was me. It was probably because I knew I was going to drama school and didn't give a shit at that point.
Yeah.
But
that is the only thing. Like, things that you don't really give two shits about, you tend to do better at.
Yeah.
So the less you can care, it's such bad advice, because obviously, if you really want this role at the National, then obviously you're going to really care about it. But the less you can care...
It's a paradox, isn't it? Like, when people tell you when you're stressed to don't be stressed. Like, well, if I knew how to do that, I wouldn't be stressed.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. But try and... there's got to be something that you enjoy about it. If it's talking about your hobbies, yourself, the project. And, that's my last bit of advice, and then I'm going to shut up for the episode. Have something to say.
Yeah.
Whether it's about the project, what you like about it, whether it's just a question of how do you plan on staging something or filming it, just have a question and get them talking, because if you get them interested or show that you're interested, they'll talk to you more. And the moment you can break down that barrier and get them talking as well, you'll actually find it a lot easier. Mic drop, I'm out.
Mic drop. I love that. I love it. Yeah, because if you show you're interested, then it means that you want the job, you want to work with these people, or, you know, you're sussing out whether you want to work with these people, because you might not by the end of the day.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
I think my favourite thing is something Bryan Cranston said I think he's done some sort of YouTube video about auditions or something like that, and everyone under the sun's watched it, but it's like, once you leave the room, that's it, you forget about it, it's dead and buried. And other people are so bad. Like, I just don't really tell people when I've got auditions now.
Yeah,
because they'll go, have you heard anything? What was it like? And I'm like, I've left that room. I've forgotten about it. I don't want to talk about it.
There's a lot of actors that do that with projects. Like, I'm talking big celebrities who, like, have project after project after project. They film a project and then completely forget everything about it. So by the time the press run comes around, they're like, I don't remember this film. I don't know anything about it.
What was my character called?
Oh, God, who was it? There's a really famous... I've got Maggie Smith in my head, but I think she's just someone who just doesn't give two fucks.
Is it Olivia Colman?
Maybe. It sounds like an Olivia.
I feel like I've seen a video.
Yes, it's a Graham Norton thing again, isn't it? I'm pretty sure. Mm. And she's like, oh, God, I don't remember. Anyway, I've ended up talking again, so...
I thought you were shouting up about
it. I am, I promise. The mic was dropped.
So next week we're coming at you with inclusivity, darling.
Inclusivity. And there we go. We've got to drop all the mics now. Bye. See you. We're leaving.
3, 2, 1.